1320 WILS. My next guest, writing a piece in the New York Times, or I should say the Wall Street Journal, titled "It's Time to Rethink the Bucket List Retirement." Dr. Mark Agronin joins us, author of the book How We Age, A Doctor's Journey into the Heart of Growing Old. He says the idea of just running out and gallivanting around the world may lead to depression rather than happiness. Dr. Agronin, great to have you here.
Thank you so much. Great to be here.
You're a geriatric psychiatrist. What's the primary issues people face at this stage of life when they're old?
The average age I treat is 90. And in that stage, the majority of individuals have some degree of memory impairment, what we call dementia or neurocognitive disorder. It affects not only memory and other cognitive issues, it also can affect mood, behavior. So I see lots of different psychiatric disturbances in addition to cognitive changes in these individuals.
And how do you treat someone who's 90 and has a memory issue? How do you psychiatrically deal with that?
Step one is to figure out what's causing it, what's going on. It might be Alzheimer's, but it might be something else. If we can find that issue, we can get them better. Mm-hmm. And then look for what's going on in their life. What can we improve? What can we help them get involved in? Make sure they have enough services.
Yeah, I wonder at that age if you really want to reflect on painful parts of your life, you know?
Yeah, some people do. It varies, but it's amazing the strengths people get as they get older. There's a lot we have to learn from 90-year-olds, I have to tell you.
And what you wrote about in the Wall Street Journal was about the bucket list, the entire idea, which I guess we all dream of, running around, seeing all the things we didn't get to see in our lives. Why do you say that often leads to depression?
It's clear that older individuals now, many of them have more opportunities to travel, to do lots of exciting things, but we don't want to lose sight of what our mission is, what our purpose is, and all the people around us. I think sometimes become exciting in the moment, but overall can lead to a sense of emptiness.
Now, what happens exactly? So if you're out traveling, let's say 3, 4, 6 months of the year, how does it affect your family connections?
Number one, you're not with them as much. It's hard to share the adventures with them because they're not there. They don't always understand. There can be resentment that you're not there if they want to be with you or they have the need of a grandparent or an uncle or a friend. Mm-hmm. So sometimes those connections can really begin to fray when someone is excessively focused on being away and being out on adventures and ignoring things going on closer to home.
So when they return, how are they treated by family once they come back?
It varies. What I've seen in some situations is a lot of resentment from adult children and grandchildren because they want them to be there. They want their presence. Or not everyone has children or grandchildren, but friends want to spend time with them, but sometimes have this feeling that anything they'd plan will pale in comparison to these amazing adventures the person's going on. So that can drive a wedge between friends as well.
Talking to Dr. Mark Agronin, geriatric psychiatrist, author of the book How We Age. So what do you do if you spend your whole life working 40 hours a week, you finally are free? How do you get out and see things you want to see and still have a connection with family?
Well, these adventures are great. There's nothing inherently wrong with a bucket list. My point is put some purpose into it, give a mission to it, include other people, include family, include friends, or think about the trips that include volunteerism or bring you to parts of the world where you can do some good for other people. I think when individuals wrap up those adventures, that bucket list, with a mission or purpose, it makes a difference. If you look at the movie The Bucket List, at the end of the movie, after all the things they did, what did they really want? They wanted to be close to home. They wanted to be with family. And I think at the end of the day, that's what gives us most of the meaning in our lives.
And what about the experience, though, of being out there and seeing things you've never seen before as a retired person? Is there any real benefit to doing that?
Well, there can be. And my point was not to say that people shouldn't take trips and do things like that. It was more to say if you make a lifestyle of that, there can be a downside to that. But there's no question that taking that once-in-a-lifetime trip can be wonderful and thrilling. And usually the people who have the best time, it's because this is something that they prepare for, they plan, they study about, they get other people involved. They really make it important across so many different aspects of their lives.
What is it that happens to people who didn't have kids or maybe don't have a real close connection with their children as they get older? What is life like then?
Well, life can be as rich, sometimes richer, because individuals, if they don't have kids or grandchildren, they often have more time to focus on friendships, connections with younger generations, with nieces, nephews, or with organizations. Sometimes they pour everything they have into giving to their church or synagogue or community. So those connections can be incredibly rich. And we're seeing a lot more people who are single by choice and really part of communities that give them purpose and meaning.
I mean, is it hard, though, to make friendships, new friendships in your 60s, 70s?
I think it's more difficult for men than women, in part in terms of sociability, in terms of longstanding friendships, either through work or outside of work. But it is possible. I think the difficulty people face is when they begin losing friends and close relatives. There's a sense for, you know, is it worth it to make all these new friends? So it is possible, but there's definitely some reluctance amongst individuals.
You're saying you're going to make friends that may be dying within a matter of 10, 20 years, that kind of
thing? I see that sometimes. They're a little more reluctant to invest the time and emotional energy into connections. But people still do it, without question.
So if you're not making new friends and your friends are dying away, where does that leave people at that point?
This is a critical juncture because people have to find some connections. They have to find some involvement. Otherwise, they can find themselves very disconnected and very lonely. There's so much out there for people to do. Adult education, volunteer work is huge, adventures where they get people together who are single. So enormous opportunities out there, but someone has to be willing to take advantage of them.
Now, you say in the Wall Street Journal, you're right, we get happier naturally as we grow older. Is that across the board?
It is, and this is another key point people need to keep in mind because, as a rule, older people have higher senses of well-being. They're not as concerned, their expectations are lessened. They're not as concerned about seeking really new and wild, exciting things. But they often can find more meaning and purpose just by virtue of getting older and being more experienced and developing wisdom.
But what about the reality of our bodies aging? How do we overcome the sadness of that?
Well, remember that when you're 30 or 40 and you picture your body in decline, it's pretty shocking. But once you get in your 70s, 80s, and 90s, people have gone through lots of stresses. They've dealt with health issues before. They cope with it better. They're used to it more. So to some extent, we try to project ourselves into an 80 or 90-year-old brain, and it's hard to do. But I can tell you from seeing people like that every single day and talking to them, it's amazing how people cope. They're very resilient, and they know what they're dealing with.
Do they really accept how old they are?
Most people don't really say it feels any different than when they were younger in some respects. So I think there is acceptance, but you know, I love when I ask people what it's like to be 80 or 90 and say, oh, I didn't realize I was so old. You know, that spirit is still there. Wonderful when you see that. You know, being young is wonderful, but we all age. We don't have a choice, and so we have to not only make the best of it, but realize that there's a lot of strengths and advantages that we accrue. This is what I've learned from the people I work with, and it's really remarkable when you hear their perspectives.
Dr. Mark Agronin, author of the book How We Age, A Doctor's Journey into the Heart of Growing Old. He's a geriatric psychiatrist at the Miami Jewish Health Systems. Dr. Agronin, thank you, and hopefully we can talk again.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you.